Do you ever wonder what it's like to be a Harvard Business School student, a Google intern? Let's find out in today's podcast. Welcome to the 220th episode of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today is Shantanu Misra, almost a second-year Harvard Business School MBA student. He's currently actually a Google product manager in his summer internship, but he's almost a second-year student. And he will serve this upcoming year as a product manager for the Harbus, the independent nonprofit news organization of Harvard Business School. A little background about Shantanu. He graduated from IIT Kanpur in India with a BTech and MTech in civil engineering focused on geoinformatics. He worked for BCG in Mumbai and Singapore until 2014. Then he made a fairly major switch and moved to Switzerland, where he became the project manager for Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance. About 1 year ago, he started his MBA at Harvard. Shantanu, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Okay. Can you give us a brief overview or a little background of your path to Harvard Business School?
Sure. I mean, you pretty much summed it up, but yeah, I mean, I think more from sort of the journey perspective. I did, as you said, you know, I did my undergrad in engineering, but sort of pivoted. Learned a lot of technical skills during my undergrad, but pivoted to a more business-focused role. Because I was fascinated by the idea of trying out different industries and sort of solving strategic problems. So, like, that's what attracted me to BCG after my undergrad. Spent good 2 years in BCG, got a lot of exposure to different industries, different geographies, different kinds of problems. But like any other consultant, like the only problem was that I wasn't owning the solutions. Like, I would give the recommendations and then go away. So I think that urge, and of course my interest in the public health and public education space, attracted me towards this opportunity in Switzerland, and that's how I ended up in Gavi in Geneva. Spent like almost 1.5 years over there. It was a fabulous time. It's a great place to live in, and the role that I had was very interesting. And it is around that time when also sort of living in a new country gave me a lot of space to reflect and think about my career. And that's when I decided that I want to do my MBA and ended up in Harvard Business School.
How did you like the switch from advising to, in your words, owning the solution at Gavi?
It is. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's a bit, it's a major shift. And a lot of people asked me during that time, like, how are you finding adjusting in Switzerland? And I said, adjusting in Switzerland is sort of easy. It's sort of the change in the job profile, which is a bit more tricky. And I think the way I see it is like, there are two big differences. One difference is, you know, as a consultant, one of the things that you take for granted is sort of the buy-in of your client organization, because as a consultant to one of the top firms like BCG, you always have a very senior client counterpart. And that means that the machinery in that organization runs very fast whenever you request for something, or, you know, you want some information or you want to discuss with people. But when you are in an operational role, you are part of that machinery and sort of you're surrounded by some of the bureaucracies and the politics of that organization. So sort of you don't have that senior leadership driven mandate all the time. And you sort of have to work hard to build your case, to build your credibility with your colleagues, which is a different challenge altogether. So like in terms of what I did do day to day, that was a big difference. The other big difference is the level of detail that you go to when you're talking about your solutions. Because as a consultant, you are working with the CXOs, you leave things at a very high level. Yes. And you know, that's your job. And you then say goodbye and you move on to another project. Whereas here, you're working with people who do this day in and day out, and not just sort of the CXOs who just know about things at the high level, but people who actually operationally do it. And you have to really be detailed. You have to see your solutions ultimately see the light of the day. So you are supposed to implement it. So you always have that very practical lens on, which you do as a consultant as well, but like not to the same extent.
Right. You're not in the weeds as much. You're not in the nitty gritty.
Exactly.
And you don't have access to the people as a consultant who are in the weeds and in the nitty gritty, whereas if you're in an organization, especially a small organization, those people are down the hall, right?
Yeah, that's actually, that's a great point. Like, that is a huge difference for me. I think as consultants, when we start a project, it's almost like the entire team is kind of shooting in the dark for the first couple of weeks, because your boss, that is your project leader, also does not have a lot of context on who's the expert on this topic within this organization, who should we talk to. And sort of the entire team is learning together, and it's a very steep ramp up phase. It's probably one of the most painful phases of your life as a consultant, because you have to work really hard. But when I was in Gavi, I could literally turn to my manager and say, what do I do? I don't know about this specific topic. And he would point me to a person who would sit with me for half an hour and explain everything in detail. As a consultant, you don't try to do that because you don't want to sound stupid. You want to build some credibility before you ask such pointed and blank questions. But as a part of an organization, it's sort of that ramp up phase is much smoother, I guess.
Okay. So why do you feel you need an MBA? I mean, you have a bachelor's in engineering, you have a master's in engineering, you have this incredible experience working at BCG, and I'm sure they gave you great training too. Why did you go for an MBA?
That's a very deep question. But I think the way I think about it is two ways. You know, first of all, I don't think MBA is an investment that I'm making towards the next 10 years of my career. Mm-hmm. Because if I think about it, actually, the return on investment is negative of doing an MBA, because you might as well sort of continue with your job in BCG or wherever you are and earn a lot more and not give the huge tuition fees that these schools have. But I think MBA is an investment for the remaining 30, 35, 40 years of your career. And I think in that sense, MBA helps in sort of just giving you that community of people who share your interest, who you spend 2 years of your formative life with, who can always be a resource pool for you. So I think that for me was the biggest reason why I felt I needed to do an MBA. I have a lot of interest in topics like public health, public education, and sort of the role of technology in that. And in MBA, I found people who share that interest, the passion for tech, for social enterprise, and I've been able to connect with them and exchange ideas with them. And I think that's going to be an asset that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. So yeah, so I think these two probably were the biggest reasons why I went for an MBA.
Okay. What did you find most difficult in the application process? So you're sitting in Switzerland, presumably, you've been doing this very satisfying work that you enjoyed, and you decide that, I guess you want some education, but you also want this expanded network, and you decide to apply. What was most difficult for you?
So the most difficult thing by far was the essay, because you know, the rest of your application packet, so to say, is ready, right? Because like you have done the jobs that you have done, you have got the grades that you've got, like you can't really change that. But one thing that you can change is how you present yourself. And that's driven like by a huge share by what you write in your essay. And the trick, sort of the trick for me was that there are quite a few people with my educational background, and also sometimes with my professional background, you know, from BCG India or from McKinsey India, who have been through an engineering college, probably got similar grades, who apply, and you really have to differentiate yourself. So I think thinking through how to differentiate myself, that was the biggest challenge in essay. And I think the second biggest challenge is you don't appreciate, like, you know, once you're when you're writing the essay, like, it's a very high risk event in your life applying for MBA.
Oh yeah,
because like you'll get probably one or two shots at it, and then you'll be too old to do an MBA. So you really want to get it right, but at the same time, you don't know how creative you can be or how wacky you can be about stuff that you want to write in your essay. And that is where sort of sometimes reading successful essay helps. And sort of that is a plug-in for something I want to talk about later about Harbus, what Harbus is trying to do. But I think what really helps is understanding, talking to seniors, talking to people you know who have made it, and trying to understand what are the things that you can experiment with. What are the different dimensions that you can take your essay in to highlight your personality? Because at the end of the day, you want to really stand out. And you're still sort of very risk averse. You sort of want to toe the traditional narrative in your essay, but you can still be more crazy and more experimental. I think that balance is tricky.
So did the MBA applicant Shantanu get the Harvard Business School essay guide?
Which I
was
did.
That which,
Actually,
which
I
you did. All right. So did it help you?
Yeah.
I know you're about to come out with one. So for this, you already have come out with one, but did you?
Exactly. So yeah.
It?
Yeah. For everyone's context, basically, we at Harbus, which is SBS's news organization, we annually come out with a product, which is called the Essay Guide, which basically contains over 25 successful essays from current HBS students. Mm-hmm. And we have had this tradition for the last 5 years. And we have recently come out with our latest Harbus Essay Guide. So yeah, when I was an applicant, I actually ended up getting my hands on a Harbus Essay Guide, and that helped me tremendously. Because as I said, when you read these essays, you get to know what are the kind of crazy things that people talk about, and hence, in a way, your horizons are expanded about, you know, this guy literally did not talk about his professional interest at all, and just talked about his family background, or like this one single hobby, like the entire essay. And well, I can do that as well. So like, these are the kind of things that you gain by reading successful essays. And these are people who've got into HBS. So they did something right in their essays. So I think it's just a very neutral guide to just give you an exposure to what are the writing styles, what are the content choices that you can make while writing your essay. So yeah, go check out www.harbus.org and see the essay guide.
We'll link to it from the show notes at exhibit.com/218. But I haven't seen this year's edition, but I have seen the last couple of years' edition. And I thought it was very positive, very, very well done, very valuable, because the one thing that you take away, or at least that I took away from reading the book, is that there's many, many different ways to write an acceptable, no pun intended, Harvard Business School essay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole fun. And like for me, and every year when I read these essays, they are so different.
Yes.
And it's not as if they're following a single pattern. And of course, the question that Harvard poses tends to remain the same. For 1 year, it was different, but I think broadly it has remained the same for the last 3-4 years. But the kind of content that students come up with is amazing. It's so creative.
Right. It's not even that it's not creative in the wacky sense of creative, at least not in my, in my book. It's creative in the sense that there are approximately or just under 1,000 individuals in the Harvard Business School class. And the guide presents 25 different essays or more representing those individuals, and the individuality comes out.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, if readers of this essay book can take that away, is that they should not start by having a template of, okay, these are the 3 or 4 facets I need to cover in my essay, and now let me sort of design my narrative around that. But actually think really bottoms up. Who am I and what I want to present to the admissions committee, and really take it from there.
What do I want them to know? Well, that's the question. That really is a question.
Exactly.
What do you as the applicant want the Harvard Business School Admissions Committee to know that is not provided in the rest of the application?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, that was the value that I found in that guide. Now let's move forward in the application process. When you interviewed at Harvard Business School, What was the most memorable and or difficult question that you were asked? Do you remember?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the interview was in Paris because I was in Europe at that time. And so I had like every applicant I had prepared, you know, the standard set of questions that you find online. But I was really surprised when the interviewer actually opened with a question about one of the hobbies that I'd mentioned in one small aspect of the application, not even in my essay. Mm-hmm. And that was about my interest and my experience doing street plays in India. And of course, I was not prepared for that question, but I think it just changed the, like I was, I mean, of course, I was very nervous before the interview. But for me, it really helped me relax because then I was talking about things that I've experienced in my college life. And, you know, and it was just a more fun interview because the interviewer had asked that question to begin with.
Okay. Do you remember what you wrote about in the interview reflections after your interview?
So interview reflection is again a very important aspect of your application. The way I look at interview reflection is like it can't get you in, but it really presents like reflection is a huge part of HBS pedagogy in general. I mean, apart from the application process, like we in our first year write tons of reflection. I think that's one of HBS's core belief that that as a leader you need to be reflective. So I think interview reflection is very important because it helps them get a more holistic picture of you and also helps them understand how you will fit in with the HBS culture. So what I ended up writing was, I actually mentioned what I just told you about that question and how that helped me just relax in the interview. So thanking the interviewer for that and for reading my application carefully to actually notice that element. Mm-hmm. And just talked about, you know, what kind of things I took away from the interview in terms of like, what are the reflections that I did after the interview? What was my thought? And I was actually very frank with them. I said, I thought I'm going to be really worried after this interview, but I'm actually now, I'm still worried, but I at the same time, I'm also very reflective because some of the questions that were asked were really, really profound.
Yes, I think anybody going into a Harvard Business School interview has to expect that the interviewer will have gone through their application really thoroughly and will ask thoughtful, probing, profound kinds of questions. That's one of the distinctive characteristics of the Harvard Business School interview.
Absolutely, and I can't emphasize that more because I interviewed with other schools as well. Mm-hmm. And if there is one aspect where HBS differed, it was the level of preparation that the interviewer had, which I think shows a lot of respect for the effort that the applicant has put in. And like they literally had a list of questions prepared, and they did their best to be fair to everyone, sort of gave only 30 minutes to everyone. So I think in terms of process, HBS has really nailed it. I mean, I can be a bit biased, but but I think that's the general sense you get from other applicants as well.
Okay. So you were among the lucky ones and the talented ones. You were admitted. What really surprised you about life at Harvard Business School once you got there?
Sure. I mean, going into HBS, you hear all these stories, right? It's HBS. You're going to be like, you're going to party for 2 years and right. Network and connect with people. I think for me, the surprise and sort of the pleasant surprise of life in HBS was the focus on the classroom. And of course, like you hear from people that HBS prides itself on the case study method, but then you say, okay, fine. But people tell me that it's just a 2 year party, right? I mean, so you spend some time in the classroom and you just relax out of that. But it's actually much more than that. And I think for me, the biggest surprise was the amount of effort the faculty put in into each single class. Mm-hmm. That was just amazing. For each of the class, you know, we are given cases and we have to go through them. But you can easily make out how much effort the faculty has put in, like probably gone through the case 4 or 5 times, if not more. And the way they structure the discussion, what aspects to cover first, and sort of how to build towards those insights that come out at the end of the case while still allowing people to participate. I think it's just it is just fascinating, and I think the richness of the conversation that happens in the classroom is really amazing. And I didn't expect it to be that good coming in.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds pretty good. Now, again, you worked at Bain before in India and Singapore for about 3 years, and then you worked in Switzerland for Gavi. How is the case method changing the way that you think about business in general or product management? I realize you were not in a product management role specifically either at Bain or even at Gavi, but you were at something related at Gavi. Certainly you had business exposure. So how has this approach really changed your approach?
Just one correction. It was BCG and not Bain.
I'm sorry, BCG, my error. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. So I think before MBA, the kind of roles that you do in the management world or in the business world, it's more designed to be sort of you contributing as an individual contributor. Mm-hmm. And I think business school does a great job of allowing you to switch from that role into sort of a team leader role.
Okay.
And so I think the focus that HBS has put on sort of the leadership process and just the skill of leading and influencing teams helps you sort of make that transition from being just an individual contributor to actually being a team leader. That's in terms of just core skill sets. I think that is one difference, and that is applicable to product management as well. Like you own big product areas which have overlap with multiple other teams, and you have to sort of lead those teams, but at the same time they're not reporting to you, so you can't boss over them, but you have to lead them by influence.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where MBA comes in. The other thing for me that HBS taught me was I think the respect for diversity, and I think that comes through being in a classroom with sort of multiple nationalities, people from all sorts of background, and you see the richness that they bring to the discussion because of the diverse perspectives that they have, and you really realize how valuable that diversity is for team creativity, for team performance. And that's something that I did not appreciate as much before MBA, even though I had worked in different geographies. But it is through the MBA that I've realized how important that is for any team.
So when we first started our conversation and I asked you, about why you wanted to go to business school, you didn't use the word network, but you largely talked in terms of the value of an expanded and really elite kind of network. But in talking about the Harvard Business School experience, it seems like you've gotten much more out of it than just the network. It seems like you're really benefiting and valuing the experience itself. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what happens is like when you end up applying to HBS, you're sort of in a very focused state of mind. Like you're thinking about your career, so those are the things you think you will take away from it from your MBA. But of course, once you join it, you're living in a community. You spend two full years of your life. I'm still just 1 year into it, mm-hmm. and you end up taking away a lot more. And as I said, there are aspects about HBS which have pleasantly surprised me, I think I'm really enjoying the experience so far.
Great. Now, you I think you're on a roll. You got into Harvard, and then you did your internship at Google. And Google, I think by most surveys, is probably the most desirable employer for MBAs. What was it like? What can you tell us about your experience as a summer intern at Google?
It was great. So I was working as a product manager, as you said. So it was building on some of the skill sets that I'd learned during consulting, in the sense that you have to be analytical, you have to sort of t- take everyone along, get initiatives rolled out, et cetera. So a lot of those project management and strategic skills that are required of a consultant, it's similar. At the same time, as I said, you know, you're in an operational role, so you're owning stuff, so you need to be really detailed. So it has been a really fun experience. It's amazing the kind of things that Google is doing on the tech side, and to use sort of that technical muscle power that Google has to design products. It's just a fascinating experience. I don't think I could have got this experience anywhere else. And you know, brainstorming about solutions that are going to impact billions of users, it's just very fascinating.
Okay. Other than the fact that you use the Harvard Placement Center, I'm not talking about that part of it, and obviously you have the Harvard brand. Do you feel that there are particular aspects of the Harvard MBA experience that help you when you were a product manager? You're finished with the internship now, correct? You're back in Boston?
Almost finished.
All right. So are there particular aspects of the Harvard education that you've been getting, the Harvard MBA experience, that are currently helping you in your role as a product manager at Google?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest benefit of being sort of an HBS student doing an internship at Google has been just the fact that I am from HBS, because that means that I can reach out to all those HBS grads working in Google in a similar role and say, hey, I'm a student at HBS. You're an HBS alum. Can we have a coffee? And mm-hmm. would love to know from your experience how to navigate this. So I think just being from HBS, like, it makes you part of this community, and I think probably which is the strongest MBA community anywhere in the world, because you go to any top PE firm, any top consulting, any top tech firm, top VCs, etc., you'll always find an HBS student who's already been through that experience. So I think that's the biggest value, I'd say. The second biggest value is, I think, the as I said, the pedagogy of HBS is case-based. Mm-hmm. So what you develop over 1 year is a lot of context. So for example, when I came to Google for my internship, I had to talk to game developers. And then I remember that I had done a case about game developers. So I went and read that case again, and just to try and get into the shoes of what a game developer feels like. So I think HBS through the case methods just helps you develop very rich context about real life issues. Similarly, we had done a case about sort of the Google's antitrust case in Europe. Mm-hmm. And of course that also came up during my internship. So sure. I had some context. I think just building that context about real world problems and issues really helps. I found that really useful. I think my HBS background has helped me a lot during this internship.
Okay, great. And it seems like it's both the network that you were originally going for, you know, that is already providing value and benefit to you, as well as the actual educational experience that maybe you weren't thinking about quite as much when you decided to apply.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Correct. Now, you mentioned that, you know, there is this image out there that you get to Harvard Business School and you basically party for 2 years. And you said, no, you actually do some work also. But there are rumors that you need a lot of money for the social life and the extracurriculars at Harvard Business School, that it's elitist. Have you found that to be true, or is that an exaggeration?
I think it's a bit unfair to call it elitist, or like you need a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Of course, people come from sort of different financial backgrounds.
Right.
There are people who are covered by financial aid who are in debt, and there are people who have a lot of money. So, like, of course, that is true. But at the same time, like, what I've found is there is a very strong sense of community. So, for example, your section, basically the 90 people who you share your classroom experience with throughout your first year, is a very strong community, and that community is very respectful. So, for example, if you define boundaries, let's say that I have to spend only, $1,000 in a month for social events or whatever, you can really have a great social experience within those boundaries. Of course, you can decide to spend like tens of thousands of dollars throughout your semester and still have a great social experience. but it's not as if you're losing out on the social experience of HBS because you are on a tight budget. That does not happen at all. And people are very respectful. So I have not seen that problem during my time in HBS.
Okay. Now, you are the product manager for The Harvest, and we talked about that a minute ago. What are your plans for The Harvest while you are the product manager?
Yeah, sure. So just for a bit of context, basically, yeah. Harvest is one of the oldest college news organizations. We've been around since 1937. Hmm. As a product manager, I basically own some of the Harvest's products, like the essay guide, which I talked about. We also have an interview guide that comes out slightly later in the year during the interview periods, and which again has sort of interview tips and questions from successful Harvard students. Apart from that, there are some new products that we are thinking of launching later this year. There is like some other revenue generating activities that Harvest does, and as a product manager, you're supposed to lead that. So yeah, that's overall what the role is. We have another sort of more editorial team which looks at the editorial content that we generate every month. We come out with a newsletter. So yeah, that's how we divide responsibilities within the team.
Okay, what motivated you to become the product manager?
Oh yeah, so I mean, for me, as I said, I had used the product, so I think that was the biggest motivation. Okay. The other motivation was I have always had an interest in student journalism, and you know, coming into HBS where we have this great historical asset called The Harvest, I really look forward to being a part of that. And I think the third and probably the most important thing is the team that I found. So you know, when you come to HBS or like any MBA school, you sort of sign up for multiple clubs. And of course, you realize that you can only be active in a few of them. And when I was faced with a similar situation, I just asked myself, which team do I enjoy working with the most? And it was The Harvest. So yeah, I think those are the reasons why I was attracted to Harvest.
Okay. What are your plans for after graduation? I know there's a whole other academic year to go through, but do you have any plans?
So the plan is probably to make a plan.
Okay.
I think HBS sort of gives you, like MBA, doing a two-year MBA gives you a lot of opportunity to reflect about your career.
Right.
And I really want to use the next year to reflect about, you know, my internship and sort of where I want to go from here on. Of course, like I know the areas that interest me. As I said, I have a lot of interest in tech. And also in public health and public education, and I really need to decide now how to translate that into sort of a short-term career roadmap or like a long-term career plan. But the plan is to use the next two semesters to do a bit of reflection around that. I think, as I said, you know, MBA provides you the resources to do that, not only sort of career and professional resources, but also, you know, just sitting around with friends and brainstorming on what can be the good things to try out.
Right. Do you feel any pressure to, obviously, if you spend the next two semesters reflecting and not interviewing, you may not have a job when you graduate.
Yeah.
Do you feel any pressure to participate in on-campus interviewing in the fall? Or are you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you have to be practical about those reflections.
Right.
So, you're right. I think most of the recruiting takes place in fall and a bit in spring. So I have to sort of time my planning based on that. And especially, you know, as an international, if I want to work in the U.S., I definitely need to have a job so that they can help me like with the visa process, etc. So right. That's another challenge. But But I think, yeah, so I think HP does a good job of sort of managing recruiters and sort of giving us some time to settle in into the semester before the recruitment starts, both during the first year as well as the second year. So hopefully I will have enough time to think through what are the things I want to target.
Okay. Now, I realize you're actually in the middle of your Harvard experience, so it may be a little bit difficult to answer this question. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you finished the first year, you're going to have, which is entirely required, the next year is entirely elective. What do you think you're going to miss about Harvard Business School when you're back in the working world?
I think just the fact that I think most of us who will graduate from HBS, probably that will be their last experience of being full time in an educational program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is definitely something I'm going to miss a lot because I think the kind of things you can explore during your student life, you know, getting involved in extracurricular activities are really ramping up on some things that you want to learn. For example, if you want to learn, do some courses in Harvard's computer science schools, you can go ahead and do that. Similarly, if you want to specialize in supply chain, you can go ahead and do those courses. So, like, it's a very steep learning curve while you're in school. And I think I would miss the opportunity to do that once you're in a job. Of course, you're learning, but like you're also functioning day to day, doing your
right.
class.
Right.
And I think the second big thing I'm going to miss is of course this fabulous community. I mean, I've already developed really deep friendships with a lot of my classmates, and I'm going to miss that a lot. And the thing is, like in a student life, you sort of sit in the classroom with the same set of people, then you hang out socially with them, so you connect with them at a much deeper level than say your professional colleagues. So yeah, definitely going away from each other, like landing up in different parts of the world, I'm going to miss that.
All right. What would you have liked me to ask you?
I mean,
was there anything?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I would have sort of liked to talk about more is probably some of the other Harvest products, which is, as I mentioned briefly, is the interview guide.
Can you tell us more about the other Harvest products?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. So we are coming up with an interview guide pretty soon, probably next month, before the interview period starts. So be on the watch out for that, because that again contains sort of real life interview questions and responses from successful HBS students. And I think that, along with the essay guide, which is already out, is going to really prepare you well to put your best foot forward for your MBA application.
Now, you mentioned, I don't know if you can talk about it yet, that you also hope to come out with some additional products in addition to the essay and the interview guide. Can you talk about any of those things or not yet?
We're still sort of brainstorming. We have three or four different ideas. And yeah, I mean, I can share that with you. Like, one of the things that we are considering, which has been in the pipeline for the past couple of years, is maybe coming up with a guide for 2+2 students, because the 2+2 program like has its own unique demands, because like you're still in school, so how do you position yourself? And we have had a lot of people asking us to sort of use the HBS assets that we have to give them some guidance.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the problem is like we have very few 2+2 students coming in, and to come up with a meaningful product for that audience has been a challenge in the past years. But that is something that you might see this year.
Okay.
So yeah, that's something in the pipeline. But yeah, I mean, we're discussing two or three more ideas. But yeah, everyone will get to know once we come out with a new product.
Okay. All right. Fine. Shantanu, I think we're just about finished. Where can people keep up with you and the Harbus? Any social media hangouts, any URLs you want to share?
Sure. I mean, you can find out everything about Harbus on www.harbus.org. That's our website. If there is anything that you want to specifically ask me, feel free to drop me an email at shantanu@harbus.org. I'd be happy to answer your emails, any suggestions you have. And yeah, you can follow our Facebook page, which is again The Harbus on Facebook. We also have a Twitter handle. So we're all over the place, but you'll be able to find the essay guide on harbus.org.
Okay, great. We'll definitely link to harbus.org and several of the other resources that Shantanu mentioned, as well as resources that we have that we think might be of use to Harvard Business School applicants from our show notes at exhibit.com/220. Listener, thank you too for joining Shantanu Misra and me for the 220th episode of Admission Straight Talk. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.